listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mothers. My name's Matt Kay. With me is...
Ry, the movie guy. How we doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing great.
That's great. What's the title of this podcast?
Movies that start with... Wait,
no,
movies that
the
have
actual
one...
title of this podcast. Our name of our
oh,
podcast.
Oh, I thought you meant this episode in
no,
particular.
No, no.
Cinema Jaw.
Right. And when you hear the name Cinema Jaw, what do you think? Two very good-looking guys discussing movies who bring on intelligent guests.
Uber good-looking, I would go as far as to say.
A title does a lot, and that's our topic today.
Yeah, what's in a name? Everything.
Yes, we're going to discuss movie titles, our favorite one-word movie titles,
yeah,
and just go crazy with everything about movie titles.
If you can't say it in one word, you're talking too much. like Precious, the novel based on Push by Sapphire.
Way too long of a title right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have a special guest coming in a little while.
Yeah.
Eddie Griffin from WTTW is going to be joining us.
Yep.
We got a full episode, Eye for an Eye, Interested or Ignore on some new movies. I got some reviews for you, Knowing with Nick Cage. This was recommended to me by Charles Klein.
Oh, no. Why would he recommend that movie to you?
We'll get to that part later. And also, I caught The Maid, which is a foreign film that I'll discuss. So let's get right to it. Eye for an Eye.
All right.
Interested or Ignore, Matt. New movies opening up this week. We start off with Despicable Me. In a happy suburban neighborhood surrounded by white picket fences with flowering rose bushes sits a black house with a dead lawn. Unbeknownst to the neighbors, hidden beneath this home is a vast secret hideout surrounded by a small army of minions. We discover Gru, voiced by Steve Carell, planning the biggest heist in the history of the world. He is going to steal the moon. Things change the day he encounters the three little orphan girls who look at him and see something that no one else has ever seen before, a potential dad. This is an animated film and is presented in 3D. Matt, interested or ignore?
Interested. I saw the trailer. I like this. The animation style is really unique. It's cool. It's, perhaps a contender to go up against Pixar and all their hits.
I would hope so. And, you know, you got a 2.5-year-old at home, so maybe yeah. You're leaning towards checking this one out. I myself am giving this one an ignore. Tell ya.
You got a new sound effect machine.
I do, and that's going to be coming into play all day today.
I can't wait.
As we test them out. But, you know, I've seen this. It seems like it's too geared towards the little kids for me to go check out. Maybe by chance, if it gets rave reviews, I'll check it out when it comes to DVD. But for now, I'm giving this one an ignore.
Okay, fair enough.
But I do agree with you. The animation looks pretty awesome. All right, also opening up, Predators. Maverick filmmaker Robert Rodriguez tackles producing duties for a revamp of the Predator film series.
Every time you say the word Maverick, I think Sarah Palin, dude. Can you use a different word?
Focusing on human survival adventure set on the Predator's home planet, this prequel to the series stars Adrian Brody, Lawrence Fishburne, and Topher Grace. Again, this film is produced by Robert Rodriguez, but is directed by Nimrod, not kidding you, Nimrod Antel, who is responsible for 2007's Vacancy.
Nimrod is a common name in Iceland.
Matt, interested or ignore on Predators?
I always like work by Nimrod. I'm going to check this one out.
You know what? Let's be honest. Most of this series is terrible, I think. Predator vs. Alien.
Whoa.
It's all garbage after the original Predator.
What about Danny Glover's entry into the series? That was fantastic.
I'll tell you, honestly, on this one, from what I've seen in the trailer, I like Adrian Brody. I like the actors involved. Slight. I'm giving this one an SI, not Sports Illustrated. Slight interest.
Did I already say interested?
You did.
Okay.
You did. So... again, maybe if you give this a review, I'll go check it out when it hits the $5 screens.
It does look good. A little highbrow.
All right, last one, Matt. The Kids Are All Right, a heartfelt new comedy starring Annette Bening, Julianne Moore, and Mark Ruffalo. Two teenage children raised by a lesbian couple get the notion to seek out their biological father and introduce him into the family life that their two mothers, Annette Bening and Julianne Moore, have built for them. Once the donor, Mark Ruffalo, is found, the household will never be the same as the family tries to redefine itself and redefine itself. Matt, interested or ignore?
Interested.
You're just giving away the boat here, I tell you.
I'm a fool for cheesy, is this romantic comedy, family comedy? I don't know.
I think it's a family comedy. It's sort of the updated family comedy with the lesbian couples.
Sure.
You got the sperm donor getting involved. I'm actually going out on a limb and going interested on this one as well.
Family comedy 2.0.
Yeah. From what I've seen in the trailer, I like Mark Ruffalo when he sort of plays that sort of goofball.
Ruffalo.
And I give him credit in Shutter Island. So there he was good. I like him as the goofball, sort of the comedy point to this film. I'm going to check this one out.
Yeah. And in the trailer, they showed us all the things that I was pretty much expecting to happen. So I'm hoping they save the surprises.
I agree. Right now, though, looks pretty good. And it's got a good soundtrack going for it, too.
Agreed.
So going over that, we got two Interesteds for The Kids Are All Right, two Interesteds for Predators, and we split on Despicable Me. Matt goes ahead and gives it a Interested.
I'm giving them out like lollipops today.
You are, I tell you. And all these have very interesting titles. One of them is a one-word title, Predators. That's going to be our topic of conversation coming up here as we bring in our guest. Matt?
Yeah, this week's guest is Eddie Griffin. Welcome, man. How you doing?
Eddie Griffin,
I'm doing fine, man.
Show.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, man. Those of you who... this sound machine.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're too kind.
Those of you who follow the Indie Incubator are probably familiar with Eddie's name. He's been our judge, but more importantly than that, you're a producer at PBS WTTW.
I am.
And you did the long-standing show Image Union, which is where our connection sort of came
from. Huge fan of Image Union.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Which is on sort of a hiatus right now.
Yeah, we're just kind of in between, the times right now, and you know, we're not done by any means, but we're just kind of just waiting out the tough economic times for Channel 11 for the station, and you know, we'll be back soon, and you know, we'll have a full season. We'll be back just like ever.
Would it help if all the Cinema Jaw listeners wrote
started
into
sending emails and stuff? Yeah,
I mean, what email
absolutely.
Address?
Like maybe we get a petition going.
Yeah, you can do. I would tell them to go through the WTTW.com website, and there is like just the contact us.
You heard it here, and folks. Demand it.
Yeah, those people, we take that serious. You know, the viewers have a voice. And
or even better, when they're running one of their phone marathons looking for money, just fill up the phone lines and tell them you want your Image Union.
Yeah, cancel pledge and bring back Image Union.
You also got a new project coming down the pipes. You want to tell
and
us?
And this sounds fantastic.
Yeah, this is something we're pretty excited about. It's called the Chicago Stand-Up Project, hosted by Anna Belleval and featuring and created by comedian Pat McGann. What it is, it's part documentary, part reality. So we take a bunch of Chicago local celebrities, personalities, and we document them as they get a crash course in stand-up comedy. So you go from beginning, you know, to where they meet with Pat, who's their comedy coach, and he teaches them the ins and outs of comedy. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, we show them performing live at Zany's. So this is all first-timers.
Yeah, who are some of the names that are going to be in this?
We have Shawnee Davis, who is the Chicago's own gold medalist, Olympic speed skater. We have Susanna Negevin, who's the editor-in-chief of Michigan Avenue Magazine.
And who's like, been here on Cinema Job.
That's right, a former guest. And
we discussed our best chick flicks with Susanna.
She's a pretty cool girl.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
We also have Amy Fries, who's the weathercaster for Fox News Chicago. And we have former White Sox slugger slash legend Ron Kittle.
Amy Fries, that's an ironic name there, huh? She's the...
You know, that's something that she talks about in the show, that's the number one question people ask her, is Fries her real name? And it is. But, you know, everyone we worked with was awesome, and it was just such a great experience. And it's, you know, it's going to be a really good, different show for Chicago.
And when does it get started again?
It's going to air July 16th and July 23rd on WTTW, Friday nights at 8:30.
That should be pretty close to, well, this episode will post about a week before that, so that's perfect.
That's perfect
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Sweet, man.
Yeah,
I'll be watching for sure.
And how long of a run is it? How many weeks?
Right now it's two episodes, so it's technically a pilot.
Gotcha.
We have two participants per episode, and we've done two episodes,
yeah.
Four people total.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's fantastic idea.
Yeah. If you get picked up and you ever need somebody who's not really funny to go on the show, you got my card.
That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people who aren't known for comedy and making them get up there. So yeah, we'll come back for you.
Cool.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. So and you're also, Eddie, it should be mentioned, a huge movie fan.
I like to think so, yeah, sure.
And we asked Eddie about maybe a favorite topic, and he came up with this great idea of picking movies that only have one word in the title. And we're not cheating and going the anything.
Yeah no the.
No the.
I actually wrote a few rules for myself.
And to be honest, I was shocked how many there really are, a lot of them out there.
It is. I thought it would be a pretty tight to find some of these, but there was a lot of them. And there's
thousands.
A lot of Oscar winners, too.
Yes, so. And I actually have a list of the Oscar winners right here.
Okay. Yeah.
The picture that actually won Best Picture.
Yeah, these are
right,
one-word title.
One-word titles.
Best pictures.
Crash, Chicago, Gladiator, Titanic, Braveheart, Unforgiven, Platoon, Amadeus, Gandhi, Rocky, Cabaret, Patton, Oliver, I don't know this one, Gigi, sorry, Marty, Hamlet, ring it twice, Crossfire, Casablanca, Rebecca. That's enough. Yeah, there's more. Is.
There we go. That's the end of the show. There
we go. It's over. It's all over. We mentioned everybody's list right there. But I tell you what, I read a fact that something like 25% or 30% of all Best Picture winners are one-word titles. I saw this in the research. It's amazing because you don't think so, but maybe a shorter title means... You know.
It's the power of ideas. If it's just one idea, then it can be expressed with one word.
Right.
And therefore, it's that much more powerful, in my opinion.
And you know what, too? When I was coming up with my list, I went with, you know, my sort of my favorite one-word title films, but also sort of in there when that one word really described the whole film, fit the bill, and it just described it
perfectly. Said everything,
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going. So I don't mind to start out with my top five. What do you think, Matt?
You want to start?
I'll start.
Go ahead.
All right. Number five. Very seldom do I ever mention a Keanu Reeves movie on a list.
Oh, wow.
But wow, I'm bringing Keanu Reeves at my number five, 1994. I'm talking Speed.
Really?
Yes. Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves. Eddie's crossing something off, maybe. Might
no, just,
his list.
Just I'm just keeping score here.
he's making a note to never trust your taste in movies.
Yeah. And well, here, the reason why, and I'm not like, wow, totally sold by Speed, but I remember going to see it in the theater, and really that one word sums up the entire movie. The bus has got to keep a certain speed going so that the bomb doesn't go off. There's a lot of fast-paced action, aka Speed. It sort of introduced us to Sandra Bullock, and I hate her now.
Yeah,
I hate
you
her guts,
hate Sandra Bullock.
And I hate Keanu Reeves, but at the time, I went and saw it, and I liked this movie, so I'm putting Speed at number five on my list.
Great performance from Hopper in
there. Yeah, film. I was just going to say Hopper.
I agree.
And that was right when he kind of came back to mainstream.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. So I got Speed. I'm hanging with that pick.
All right. We'll give it to you.
We'll swing it over to Matt.
I wrote some rules for myself.
Oh, boy.
I didn't want to mention any that I've mentioned before, so... Akira, Memento, Alien, Poltergeist, they may be on other people's lists. They won't be on mine. And I'm also going for cool words, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So let's start off with It. Wait, thank you. Based on the Stephen King novel, came out in 1990. It was actually sort of a TV miniseries, but it was only two episodes, and its sales on DVD kind of classify it now as a standalone.
As a movie. It's a little bit of a stretch, though. Let's be honest. There was no theatrical run for this.
There wasn't.
It could have never won an Oscar for Best Picture.
True. But it is.
Well, there's other
five.
Reasons why I could have never won.
True. Speed had a better chance. No. You know,
there's some great performances. John Ritter's in this, but you cannot talk about this movie and not mention Tim Curry as Pennywise the Clown.
Yeah.
An absolutely terrifying performance.
Absolutely.
I mean, it haunts my dreams to this day.
Sure.
Love that movie. That's my number five pick.
Good pick. Thanks. Not as good as Speed, but good pick.
Better than Speed by far.
That swings us over to Eddie. What do we got at number five?
Number five, Blow.
Great word.
Yeah. Good pick.
Yeah, Johnny Depp flipped from 2000, 2001,
yeah,
somewhere right around there.
Early 2000s there.
One of the true great biopics of George Young, I think.
Really showed the underworld of the cocaine.
Yeah, you go from, oh, man, this is cool, and what a loser.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
Also gave us the great song Black Betty, or at least popularized it.
Yeah.
We played it in the bars that entire summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Johnny Depp, fantastic, you know, as always.
One of the roles that kind of really brought him up to the level of, okay, this guy is an Oscar-worthy
actor. It's
the real
deal. Yeah, I agree.
And I think it's also kind of sad the director died of a cocaine overdose.
Yeah.
Was that,
I didn't even realize that.
Is that one of the Demis?
Yeah.
You might have to check my facts, but I think it was either Jonathan or Ted Demi. And
yeah.
Playing basketball.
That is crazy.
What's that? Yeah.
Wait. So he died, like, had a massive heart attack while playing basketball because of...
cocaine, drug use, yeah.
You know, let this be a lesson for all you kids out there. If you do a bunch of coke, don't go play basketball right afterwards, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of
like eating before you go swimming.
Wait an hour.
Or don't make a movie about it.
So, boy, we're going to hell for that one.
Yeah, all right, so that's a good number five. We start off with Blow from Eddie. Swings it around to our number fours. Number four, 2004, the cast is Julia Roberts, Clive Owen, Jude Law, Natalie Portman. I'm speaking of Closer.
I have not seen it, and it's been recommended to me several times.
Yeah. I own this film. I should lend it to you. As the title suggests, we need to get a little bit closer to these characters to fully understand them. It's based on a stage play. It's really in-depth on the relationship between the characters, and you really, by the time it comes full circle, you really get an understanding of all the characters and the relationships that they portray in the film. I think it's a minor masterpiece for me. I think Clive Owen's breakout role, I absolutely love
Clive Owen.
Yeah, and he is spectacular in this. I mean, he steals the show, and actually so does Natalie Portman. Those two, I believe they were both nominated for Academy Awards, those two out of this movie.
Is this where Natalie played the stripper?
She plays a stripper.
Pole dance? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And rumor had it that she had filmed some nude scenes, but those were cut from the...
Damn it.
Final.
We'll have to ask McPadden.
So
you wrote that just so you could use that sound effect.
So I don't know about that, but I'll tell you. Closer, check it out. It's my number four. I just watched it, so it's fresh in my memory.
I hear this is a pretty dark film, too.
It is. It is. It's sexual. A lot of, like, it confronts your sort of insecurities that I think a lot of, like, males have in a relationship about
stuff.
Yes.
Performance.
Perfect. So what do you got at number four, Matt?
All right. Well, below is Ted Demme. I looked it up on IMDb. So you had it.
Thank you.
My number four, Arachnophobia. Not as good as Speed, perhaps.
I have never even seen it, Matt.
Oh, it's craptastic. I liked it. It came out in 1990, so I was pretty young when it came out. John Goodman is a great cameo in this. Jeff Daniels. I don't even think they listed the director on IMDb. I should look it up. Because it's crap. It's about spiders.
Sure.
You know, but I think it broke that genre back out. We hadn't seen it in a while. It was a cool piece of horror. I liked it. Mm-hmm. One word, arachnophobia, sums up the whole movie pretty darn well.
I remember really being scared by it and not expecting to be scared by it when I saw it. And, you know, I was 8 or 9 around there, but I remember just being, especially the opening where, you know, just seeing the guy in the coffin and the spider. And I remember that was just, okay, this isn't probably a film I should be watching, but I'm going to.
Well, it's a genuinely creepy movie, but they sort of build it as a comedy.
Yeah,
so a lot
of people
went into the theater not knowing what to expect.
Right.
And there's some really scary moments. And by the way, Frank Marshall is the director.
Got it.
Yeah. Should have known that one.
It's a good pick at number four.
Yeah, that's my number four
pick.
We'll
let it slide. I'm not a huge fan. I've never seen it, and I don't think I'm going to seek it out. I'm not probably not going to put it on my
cable. Oh, no, you should watch it. You should watch it.
Yeah, maybe on a late night on a Friday, nearing Halloween.
It's almost always on cable.
Yeah. Swings us over to Eddie's number four.
My number four is probably not going to be on anyone else's list, is Backdraft. I love Backdraft. It's, you know, it's a Chicago thing. It's a firefighters. I've had firefighters in my family. It's just something that... From the first time I saw it, I've always been a fan of the movie and just loved it. And I'm shocked that it appears on everyone's, you know, 100 worst films of all time. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
You go.
I don't think so.
We go.
Yeah.
We mentioned it. I know it came up when we had
Kathy Byrne.
Kathy Byrne,
yeah, for Chicago.
On the show for Chicago movies. It was her favorite Chicago movie of all time.
Okay.
And I think it for us Chicagoans, it holds sort of a special place in our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, and she had worked on the set, so she prefaced it with that. But I actually enjoy this as a movie. I think I saw it for the first time when I was on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And, it stuck with me. Because whenever I'm on a plane, I'm so terrified that I just focus on the movie. I try to lose myself. I really liked it. I thought Kurt Russell put in a good performance in that.
Yeah, and who doesn't like Kurt Russell?
Yeah, nobody. My mom loves him.
Fastest man in Hollywood. All right, number three. We swing it around to our threes. Number three, this is my first Oscar winner mentioned here on my list. 2005, directed by Paul Haggis. It's got a slew of stars, intertwining storylines. I'm speaking of Crash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I tell you what, the word crash sounds rough. And that's exactly how the streets of L.A. are. Intertwining storylines crash together to give us this Oscar winner. Sort of a brilliant piece at the time, all on racism and the different aspects, not the normal la-di-da. We always see this exact storyline of racism, but it actually tackled it from every single angle possible, I think, inside the movie. I wasn't sure if it was going to hold up. I watched it maybe about a year ago for the second time, and I was shocked at how much I still enjoyed the picture the second time around.
Yeah, I mean, just a great film is for entertainment. I'm you know, using that loosely, not to say that. You know what I mean? But also then storytelling. It's brilliant. Just the way that it's told kind of out of context, or just they're entwining stories and, you know, they come back together. So it's, you know, almost four or five different mini films in one.
Don Cheadle's breakout performance, too. Yes. I think this is what really catapulted his career.
Yeah, he's spectacular in there. And here's another, two Sandra Bullock films I have on my list for someone who I loathe.
But, you love her.
She's actually pretty good in this one because she plays that sort of like rich snobby who I picture Sandra Bullock really being in there. And she pulls off the role great. And Brandon Fraser is in it.
Yeah.
And I hate that guy. But he's good in this movie also. So this movie's really good.
These are America's sweethearts.
Now that I think how it's handicapped by these two actors.
Because you see him out of their normal roles. I mean, you know, he's not playing a sweetheart, and he's not playing a mummy chasing.
Or George in the Jungle, or whatever that movie was.
Yeah. Don't forget Encino Man, okay? That was his best performance ever.
All right. Well, I got Crash at number three. Let's hear yours, Matt.
All right, my number three, love this movie. Love it. I could actually watch this every day if I was stuck on a desert island. 1999, Election.
Well chosen, Matt. I've only seen this once, and I was a huge fan of when I did see it.
You know, doing the research, I found out something I didn't know. It was based on a novel.
Really?
Yes, and my phone's ringing. That's a faux pas.
Yeah, somebody's probably calling into the show. They want to get their last-minute tips.
Should I put them on speaker? Oh, it's Josh from Slam Internet Radio. I'll just talk to him later.
We were on Slam Internet Radio last week live.
Yeah.
So maybe he's calling about that.
Maybe, yeah. If he listened to the show, he would know we record on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock.
He had an issue with arachnophobia.
Yeah. But, Election. Back to Election.
Yes.
Big fan of this one. Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick.
Matt Broderick is awesome.
Yeah. Sort of brought him back. I think, he's always been a great big star. But this movie kind of brought him back to the forefront, and he got a lot of great roles afterwards. Mm-hmm. And this movie was actually, I think, nominated for a Golden Globe. It won an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay, and Witherspoon the Best Actress category at the Independent Spirit Awards. So
there you go. Seek this one out if you haven't seen it. Election. Great comedy.
Yeah.
Smart comedy, too.
Dark comedy.
Yeah. Good pick.
Thank you.
Swings us over to Eddie's number three.
Number three, Seven. Thank you.
Love this movie.
Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman introduced us to Kevin Spacey. Scared the hell out of everyone.
Yes, it did.
Just creepy, just gritty, dark. Probably the best film I've ever seen. The ending was ruined for me. I remember saying, oh, yeah. I told someone I'm watching, oh, yeah, that's one where the girl's head gets delivered in the box. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then, ugh. But still loved it. Fantastic.
Yeah, still worked.
Agreed. The movie's bigger than the sum of its parts, you know? I mean, you can watch it full knowing what's going to happen at the end and still really enjoy the hell out of it. It's great.
And another, it catapulted Brad Pitt to his little run of being an outstanding
actor. And Gwyneth
actor.
Paltrow, obviously, is in there playing his wife in the movie.
Yeah,
Morgan Freeman, always excellent. Kevin Spacey, excellent. I mean, fantastic
What's
film.
In the box?
Knocked it out of the park.
That ending. Absolutely awesome. All right. Swings us to our number twos. I know we got a lot of Cinema Jaw fans out there that know I'm a huge Woody Allen fan. How could I not put a Woody Allen film on my list? And he has plenty of them that are one title. Bananas, Sleeper, Zelig. But I'm going with 1979's masterpiece, Manhattan. I've talked about it all the time, but I'll say this. Manhattan, truly, you hear it all the time, Matt, and so many times it's not true, but in this movie, Manhattan as a location truly is a character in the film. Shot in black and white, Manhattan looks as romantic as Paris. This is Woody Allen's ode to New York. It's absolutely fantastic. It's witty. It's funny. It's entertaining from start to finish. I rank it as Woody Allen's absolute masterpiece, Manhattan. Nice. If you haven't seen it, damn, check this one out.
I'm going to make a confession right now.
You have not seen it.
Not seen it.
I knew you hadn't seen it. afraid to tell me.
I've seen a lot of Woody Allen. I just, for some reason, Manhattan, I missed it, man. This is another one you got to lend me.
Yeah. I'll bring in a pile of movies next week.
All right. Do so, please.
Well, I mean, in fairness, it's something. It doesn't come up a lot. I mean, you're not going to see it on HBO, and you're not going to see too many people. I mean, everyone knows who Woody Allen is, but I mean, take a poll. How many people have actually seen more than two Woody Allen films? And it's probably not a lot. I mean,
Rye the Movie
besides
Guy.
Rye. Yeah.
Sure. Well, that's the thing. I agree. I didn't get introduced to Woody Allen until like college when I really was like, wow, I'm gonna see every movie that this guy's done. But I agree. It's not something that I pull up at the bar and talk to my buddies like, oh, man, did you guys catch,
Manhattan on cable last night?
Yeah. Husbands and Wives, brilliant film, But, yeah, it's his own genre at this point. It's a Woody Allen genre.
Exactly. And I was thinking that when you said it, that Woody Allen is the only Woody Allen.
Right.
Around there, and you know, no one has come close.
People have tried.
You know, I'm not a huge fan, but I appreciate like you said, it's his own genre of his own film.
Yeah,
which is great.
I was actually going to put it at number one, but I thought that'd be too predictable out of me. So that was my number two, Manhattan. What's your number two, Matt?
My number two, Unbreakable.
Great one.
M. Night Shyamalan, Ding Dong. I love him. He's had some missteps lately, but this was still, it was fresh off of Sixth Sense, and people were really ready for his next film. Not highly acclaimed at the box office, but critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
Like people, the critics loved it.
Caught a huge audience on DVD, which is where I saw it. It floated underneath my radar, and I caught it on DVD, and I was like, whoa, this was just as good as The Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah, I think so,
I was
too.
A huge fan.
Fill me in on it.
Oh, you haven't seen this?
I haven't seen it.
This is like, I'm a big comic book nerd, okay?
Okay.
And so many movies try to do superhero deconstruction. What would they be like in real life? This is the only movie I've ever seen that's actually, like, plausible. You believe this. He's Bruce Willis comes to find out that he may be a superhero, but not in the traditional I can fly sort of sense. He's just like really strong. He's never been sick, and he can sort of tell if people are bad or good. And this character played by Sam Jackson kind of is pushing him along these lines. And at first he thinks he's crazy, but then he starts to believe him maybe a little bit. And there's a relationship with his son is a subplot. His relationship with Sam Jackson is a subplot.
And don't spoil the end.
I will not spoil the end.
The end is fantastic. It's an M. Night Shyamalan,
exactly.
So you know the ending's got a twist.
Something's going to happen at the end of that.
Good
what a
pick,
twist.
Matt.
Thanks.
Good pick at number two. Let's hear Reddy's number two.
On my number two, I introduced my first comedy, and it's one of my all-time favorites, Kingpin.
Oh, sweet film. Love it.
It's just one of those... You know, it could be on now. You know, it's 96, came out in 96. I could watch it now. I could watch 10 minutes of it, fall asleep, come back to it, watch another 10 minutes. You know, it's just one of those films where I just love whenever it's on. And I just love, it puts me in a good mood when it's on. And
yeah.
I know every line to it. And
the funny thing about it is I've never seen it all the way from start to finish. I never rented it and watched it. But I've seen
But you
parts.
Probably know parts of it and you...
Been at someone's house, it's on, I know this part, oh, I like this part, I've already said, and I've never actually sat down and watched the entire movie, but there's parts of this movie that I know because I've seen multiple times.
Just Bill Murray at his best.
Yeah, the whole cast is amazing.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, it's just a Farrelly Brothers...
Awesome.
Masterpiece, I would say.
So that swings us to our number ones. This is big.
The big moment.
Yeah. Number one for me, 1975, it's a Steven Spielberg, and I think it says it all in one word, and that's Jaws.
Somebody had to say it.
I mean, what one-word title can be cooler and more terrifying than Jaws? It says it all in four letters. Just hits it all out of the park, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It catches your eye right away. You know what it's about, and now it's just iconic. As soon as you hear music or Noah Finn, Jaws, 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 it's a one-word title that's just...
That was the one about the James Bond villain, right? Sorry, you're not going to ring the bell?
No, I was going to do one of my new sound effects.
Do it, do it. Let's hear which one you're going to pick for that. Nice.
That wasn't it, but I'm still learning the board here.
All right, fair enough.
No, Jaws, 1975, Spielberg.
Like an original horror, but still blockbuster. And
it's got it all. Yeah,
it really transcended the
exact. Yeah,
you know, it got into the culture where people were that whole summer afraid to go swimming.
Right.
You know, it to this day it lasts.
Yes,
it stands the test of time.
Absolutely,
we're gonna need a bigger boat.
I can't wait to see if Matt can top this. Let's hear Spaceballs, Matt, at number one.
That's Spaceballs. There's no topping Jaws, and I think with one word titles, there's just so many of them. This isn't the best one word title movie of all time, but it's my favorite today. Scarface.
Very nice.
I mean, it's worthy.
Yes,
give me
I
that.
Agree.
All right,
absolutely.
1980.
It's a worthy number one.
Absolutely. Yeah, Brian De Palma was the director. 1983 was the year. Al Pacino as Tony Montana. And you got to say hello to his little friend. I mean,
yeah.
We're all familiar with this picture at this point, I think.
Absolutely. And I'm not a huge fan of what's the actor's name? You just said
Al Pacino.
Later on in his life, I think he overacts constantly. I think we would all agree.
He's got some hits and misses.
But at one point he peaked, and he peaked right at Scarface. This is where he's overacting to the point where it's just perfect. The role calls for it. He just does an awesome job.
What do you think about this one, Eddie?
I think that Vice City at its best.
Yeah, it gave us Vice City.
It did. And it's another one that really transcends. I mean, the term Scarface and that character is like the everyman. It's just like this everyone, something that everyone can relate to. And
I agree.
What's your favorite quote?
How about not a quote, but how about like the world is mine?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, world, and just that whole kind of saying and that mentality that he took on there.
Yeah, what do you want, Tony? Just what's coming to me. The world and everything in it. Or something like that. That was, I think I mangled that, but yeah.
Or you can, take another quaalude.
She'll love me in the morning. Yeah.
Good number one. We got two great number ones. That brings us to Eddie's number one. We're holding our breath here, man.
You ready?
Yeah, we got.
My number one for today is also my number one film of all time, Casablanca.
Nice.
Fantastic. Classy move.
I just absolutely love it, for a bunch of reasons. It's just black and white at its finest, a great story. It's unbelievably funny. It captured a time, it captured unbelievable performances, but just like a time in the World War II era. This town in the desert where this is what was going on. I mean, it was corrupt. It was crazy.
Yeah, this was one. It was a classic that I had not seen for the longest time up till maybe 2-3 years ago. And so glad I saw it because you're always embarrassed on some of those classics that you haven't seen, Gone with the Wind, for instance. Still, I have not seen.
Oh,
but
you gotta see
Casablanca
it.
Was on that list for a while, too, and I finally saw it, and yeah, I agree. It's funny.
Yeah, and it's critics are always going to put it right up there, AFI.
Yep.
But, not a lot of people have seen it. Like, none of my friends see it. And I try to pitch it to my friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's good, but, I'm not going to sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
You have to. Trust me.
Yeah. If you're a movie fan, check this one out. Absolutely. Yeah,
it's the original cool dude movie. Yeah. The cool character.
Yeah, the hard-boiled private detective sort of thing.
Yeah. So those were our number ones. Quality number ones, guys.
Agreed.
Yeah. A couple of quick facts before I ask you a couple questions here was Oscar Pictures, Oscar that won Best Picture, shortest title was Gigi, 1958. Longest title, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. And I was going to ask some of your favorite movie titles of all time, not having to do with one word, just favorite movie titles. I'll give you one right off the top of my head. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Eddie has that one.
I also had that one, too.
Did you?
Brilliant, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. It's everything you want in a movie title, I tell you.
Especially, the film, too, it's an artsy kind of avant-garde. And that title is just beautiful.
Yeah,
I mean,
it comes from
a poem.
Yeah, and they mention it in the movie,
right?
The poem, and this is we'll get to this. This is a moment where in the film they mention it in the movie, the title of the film, and it's totally cool, and you understand maybe the idea of the title of the film.
Yeah,
sometimes
it means like the forgetting is sometimes your best.
Yeah.
Blanket, security blanket.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful title for a beautiful film.
It's no Snakes on a Plane, Ryan. But it was pretty good. Love that, don't
you? Yeah, I got another one for you. Another one of my favorites, Lost in Translation.
Very good. Very to the point.
And sort of recent, Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. Fantastic title of a film, and it takes a viewing of the movie, actually, to understand why it's such a beautiful title of the movie.
I haven't seen the movie yet, so.
Oh, it's great. It tells you that this guy is a coward.
Yeah.
This guy is in the wrong.
Yeah, and I was researching this, and I saw that it said that Brad Pitt would not even do the movie if they were going to shorten the title, because they wanted to shorten it to The Assassination of Jesse James. He's like, if you do that, I won't even be in the movie.
That's using your clout.
Not only that, the movie talks about like how you remember certain things, how things become in the media and society as a whole, and they remember Jesse James as his legend, Robert Ford as the coward,
right.
and the way that we're mentioning the title of the film that way, it speaks volumes for what the movie in general was about.
Coincidentally, Sam Jackson almost backed out of Snakes on a Plane because they wanted to change the title of it. True story.
Oh, man. How about this? I was mentioning when sometimes they mention a movie title inside the movie and it works perfectly, like
I,
we said.
I got some movie titles.
Oh, you got some favorites.
Yeah, I can do one too. I'll just rattle them off real quick, okay?
Yeah.
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
What's that? What's that one about?
Yeah, I wonder. Snakes on a Plane, I mentioned. Hot Tub Time Machine, recent gem.
I agree.
Faster Pussycat, Kill Kill. Shaun of the Dead, which is just such a clever pun, it has to be mentioned.
Nice.
And one of my favorite long movie titles, The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies.
All right, what about you, Eddie?
I'm gonna take that machine.
Eternal Sunshine. How about Thank You for Smoking? I mean, it's a satire film, and it's a satire title. You know, in the original... long and just goes on is Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Fantastic.
Great.
Yeah, and like I was saying before, I almost nearly cut you guys off about when they mention titles of the film inside the film. Again, Eternal Sunshine, brilliant time when they do it. Other films, they use it, and they use it way too much. One that just came up was Taken. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah.
It stars...
No. Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, and his daughter gets basically... kidnapped, but for some reason, throughout the entire film, everybody keeps saying "taken." What happened to your daughter? She was taken. Damn it! No one ever mentions kidnapped once, and "taken" is mentioned 10 times. Another one you like the film is Stephen King's *The Mist*, which I like the movie also. But man, no one calls it a fog the entire time. I mean, I've never used the mist.
See, you know, we had this argument. Maybe it was. There's a difference between a fog and a mist. You can feel it on your skin. It's a
But everybody in the townspeople, as soon as they see it, you see that mist over there? There's something in the mist. Look out for the mist. It's like if they said the fog, they were going to be banned from the town.
Well, the fog is a proprietary thing. You know, it's trademark, copyright.
And my all-time worst is Gone, Baby, Gone. I actually liked the movie. Casey Affleck, Morgan Freeman. It's a fine film, but they had to mention it. Right in the middle of the movie, there's a thug. They go in. They're investigating this girl who's missing, and this thug then says... she's gone, baby. Gone. I thought, it just lost a star in my book right there. And it's just so cheesy. So it's a fine line.
Fantastic song by Violent Femmes also.
I guess.
The only one I could come up with is Spaceballs. When at the very end of the movie, they're crawling out of the Statue of Liberty's nose and the Planet of the Apes are on the beach and they go, oh, shit. There goes the neighborhood, you know? Spaceballs.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I got one. The Dark Knight.
Excellent. And I wrote it down. Yes.
It's, you know, 2.5 hours into the film. And the reason it struck me is because when I heard the title, Dark Knight, I just assumed, oh, that's Heath Ledger's Joker. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you find out, I don't want to give it away, but you find out that, you know, it's sometimes the people need that dark night. You know, the white night turns into the dark night.
Yeah, I agree. I actually had it written down as one of my goods. That was a fantastic one. And it's just a cool moment in the movie. Great way to end it.
Yeah, it's kind of the anti, you know, it's the bad ending, good ending. You know, you know what I mean? Like the,
sure.
It's like the, you know.
Yeah.
You think
the heroic montage, but.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot that goes into these movie titles.
There is.
I know you threw this out to Facebook, Matt. You got a quick mention really quick or no?
Yeah, you know what? Let's do it when we come back because I got a ton of them.
All right. So we're going to take a break here on Cinema Jaw. We're going to come back. We got DVD reviews, movie trivia, and Hollywood headlines. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a Cinema Jaw movie fact. In The Wizard of Oz, Over the Rainbow was nearly cut. MGM felt that it made the Kansas sequence too long, as well as being too far over the heads of the children for whom it was intended. The studio also thought it was degrading for Julie Garland to sing in a barnyard. And that is your Cinema Jaw movie fact. All right, we're back. You're listening to Cinema Jaw, greatest movies podcast ever. I got some Facebook comments here for you, Rye.
Yeah, some of their favorites, our fans' favorites.
One word. This is epic. 19 comments on Facebook. I'm just going to go as fast as I can. Ready?
Sure.
Justin Zimmerman, Jaws, Akira, Weekend, Lone Star, Aliens, Old Boy, and Shine. Old Boy, good pick. Sparky Bobby King said Superbad, Clue, Aliens, Milk, and Carrie.
Julia Clue.
Shell. Yeah, Clue's a good one. Julia Shell said Big. Joel Yeager said Braveheart and Gladiator. Joel's been on the show. Sarah Beth Addison Larson said Psycho, Rushmore, and she needs the time
Psycho.
To think. Psycho's a great one. Yes. Cliff says Jaws, Cliff Hawks, Jaws Blow, Reanimator, Fido, great one, and Serenity. Bobby chimed in agreeing with Fido. Sean Caleb. Spaceballs, Scarface, which I mentioned, Kyle DeRemus, Cobra, and Rambo. Tracy Berta says Cars and Shrek. You know, she's a mom. Let's see. Tom Dubinsky agrees, Blow. Sparky Bobby King comes back with Metropolis.
Whoa.
Yes. Julia Shell chimes back in again with Casino. She's got a great story behind that. We'll hopefully have her on as a future guest. Matt Reuter, Braveheart and 300. Great, although I think 300, technically two words.
Well, actually, I don't even know if it's a word, period. They just spell it out 300.
Yep. And,
you know what I mean, spell it out.
Yeah.
Write it out.
Number,
it
in, out. Number, in number form.
Yeah.
But that's not a word, Rye. That's a number. All right, that's all. Nick Lindemann came in with some stuff about Rambo, but that really wasn't a suggestion. So,
yeah.
Nick Lindemann, I said your name.
All right, so that brings us to Hollywood headlines. We got a few of them, Matt. I'll start off here.
All right.
Hey, how about this? It took two engagements, but Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green finally made it legal. Reports the couple were married at the Four Seasons Hotel Resort last weekend while vacationing on the Big Island of Hawaii were confirmed by People Magazine early Tuesday morning.
Ah, she's off the market.
She can do better.
I know, Brian Austin Green.
Can't you get a working actor?
You would at least think Luke Perry.
Wait, PBR.
What do you got for me, Matt?
All right. It's all the news all the fans of Lord of the Rings trilogy had wanted to hear. Peter Jackson in talks to direct the two planned Hobbit movies following the departure of Guillermo del Toro. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Jackson is in negotiations with New Line to fast-track the two movies into production. The aim is to bring them to cinemas in 2012 and 2013. Let's just hope the world doesn't end before then.
I agree. You know what? It's his movies to make. I didn't mind Del Toro stepping in there because I think he would do a fine job.
Yeah.
But ultimately, these are Peter Jackson's movies.
I agree. Yeah.
Don't love them. I'm sorry. I just never got into it.
Not Lord of the Rings, really?
Yeah.
A topic for
I thought it was too close to the Star Wars.
Oh, boy. Oh,
sequels,
boy.
Prequels.
Who invited
this guy? When they first came out.
All right, how about this one? Speaking of, the great Woody Allen picks his favorite Woody Allen films. Speaking to Tim Thiemann in the last Friday's Times, Allen picked his six favorite Woody Allen films.
What are they?
Which turned out to be The Purple Rose of Cairo, Match Point, Bullets Over Broadway, Zelig, Husbands and Wives, and Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
In that order, or just those
are
six films? Wow, no Annie Hall.
No Annie Hall. Manhattan, and no crimes and no crimes and misdemeanors. He leaves out the classics.
You know, he's trying. He's going for the hipster points there by leaving out the classics on purpose.
Exactly, and trying to sell his back catalog.
Yeah. All right, I got one. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs directors to take on Lego Movie.
Oh, no.
An as yet untitled movie based on Lego building block toys. Lord and Miller are in talks to write and direct the Lego-based adventure, which will employ a mix of live action and animation. Actually, this sounds pretty cool.
I'm sure they'll make billions of dollars.
Yeah, I'm suspending.
And I'm sure it's going to be presented in 3D.
What were you going to say?
In IMAX. No, I was going to say they'll probably make billions and millions of dollars of it because they'll probably market it, right? And
yeah,
it'll be the next big thing.
I see a toy tie-in in the future.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Starring Zach.
How about a famous tweet? Rosario Dawson tweeted this week, still reeling from Oliver Stone's documentary South of the Border from last night. It opened in L.A. and New York this weekend. Definitely watch it so we can talk about it.
Is that 120 characters?
140. I think she squeaked it in.
Huh?
Wow.
All right, I got one. Leonardo DiCaprio is having quite a year. A few months ago, he starred in Shutter Island, and in just a few weeks, you'll see him again starring in Chris Nolan's Inception. Speaking to the actor at a junket for the July 16th release, MTV learned there's only one type of role that DiCaprio really has his heart set on.
Oh, boy.
Vikings. I always wanted to do a Viking movie, he said. I'm a big history buff, and I don't think there's been a really fantastic Viking movie ever made. What about Eric the Viking? Those were some of the most barbaric people ever in history, he says.
Wow. I can't picture DiCaprio wearing a two-horned hat. I don't know if I would buy him as a Viking.
I think he could pull it off. What can he pull off?
I mean, I don't know. I think the Vikings, you don't want to know that the stars playing the Vikings. You just want them to be sort of like nomad-type actors, you know?
Well, maybe. We'll
see.
Where
did that come from?
MTV.
No, I mean, where did he realize, I want to play a Viking?
Mushrooms? I don't know.
Did he grow up in Minnesota?
Yeah. He grew up not in Viking land.
They're just not in the spotlight enough. I mean, we need more Viking movies.
Yeah. Well, you know, pirates, ninjas, robots. What's next?
Vikings.
Yeah. You got anything else, man?
I got a famous tweet. Ashton Kutcher tweeted this week, tough climb out of the rack this morning, but in the end, the score reads, Ashton 1, Gravity 0. This guy's epic.
This guy is unbelievable. Yeah. And what did it say? Ashton 1, Gravity 0?
Yeah, he's keeping tabs.
Boy, what a dork.
On his
All right.
battle with...
So there's some famous tweets and Hollywood headlines. That brings us to trivia. This is big. Matt, you are on a streak of, I believe you've lost 4 in a row.
No, 3 in a row.
At least 3 in a row. Maybe 4. All right, here it is.
Let's go, Matty.
Trivia.
I'm going to get my ass handed to me.
This week consists of this. Every answer is a movie of one word title. All right? I give you 3 actors. You tell me what movie they all start in. We start with our guest. Eddie, are you ready?
Oh, I hate this game.
No, but go ahead. No, go ahead.
All right, here we go. To Eddie, number 1. Nev Campbell, Courtney Cox, Drew Barrymore.
Scream.
1-0. Matt, over to you. Tobey Maguire, Chris Cooper, Jeff Bridges.
Seabiscuit.
1-1. We got a ball game. Back over to Eddie.
How many questions total?
8 questions. Okay, back over to Eddie. Demi Moore, Patrick Swayze, Whoopi Goldberg.
Ghost.
Neck and neck.
2-1. Over to Matt. Richard Gere, Renee Zellweger, Kathra Zeta-Jones.
Waterworld.
Steel. Steal over to Eddie.
Repeat them again real quick. Buy me some time.
Richard Gere, Renee Zellweger, Kathryn Zeta-Jones.
Oh, that's Chicago.
Oh, man, Waterworld.
Where did that come from?
I was thinking Costner. I don't know why.
All right.
Those two are interchangeable.
All right. That makes it 3-1, Eddie. And it's Clue
no,
stays.
No, no, no. 3-2.
No.
Yes.
3-1. 3-1, Eddie.
What? I got 2 right.
No, all you got was the Seabiscuit right. See, look at him. He's swindling over here.
Is that true?
All we've done so far is Scream, Seabiscuit, Ghost, and Chicago. All three right. of which weren't answered by Eddie. And this clue stays
Sounds
over
like
to
the...
Eddie. Eddie, Sigourney Weaver, Holly Hunter, Harry Connick Jr.
Copycat.
4-1, Eddie. It's an onslaught at this point. Matt, try to save face. Omar Epps, Tupac Shakur, Queen Latifah. I repeat, Omar Epps, Tupac Shakur, Queen Latifah. One word title.
Oh, one word title? Juice.
Oh, sorry.
That's a ding.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. All right, over to Eddie. Mark Wahlberg, Reese Witherspoon, Alyssa Milano.
What?
Mark Wahlberg, Reese Witherspoon, Alyssa Milano.
The movie where he was a football player.
Matt, make it interesting here. It's 4-2. Mark Wahlberg, Reese Witherspoon, Alyssa Milano.
Is it the movie where he's a football player? another Unbreakable, wasn't it?
Fear.
Oh, wow.
Going way back in time here. Fear. This clue goes over to Matt. Last clue of the game. The game's over at this point, but you can save face. Morgan Freeman, Angelina Jolie, James McAvoy. One word title. Eddie's smiling over there.
I don't know it.
Wanted?
Eddie wins 5-2.
I got
Matt,
my ass handed to me. I swear to God, I had another one in there.
All right, whatever. 5-3. Eddie's the winner, though. Eddie's the winner. And hey, I was just going to say this because Matt, just to make up for it, better superhero film, Superman or Batman?
Well, wait a second. Now this is a controversy. This is a controversy.
Okay, that's what I'm going to say. What Batman?
It was Batman the movie. And Superman was Superman the motion picture. Neither one of them are one word.
I know, but we know them as one word just for the sake of
Batman.
Arguing today.
Batman.
What? No, incorrect. It's that's actually Superman.
No, that was right. He was right.
I'm right.
It was Batman. Tim Burton's
hey,
first Batman.
The tiebreaker was this. Age of Dustin Hoffman. That was the tiebreaker in case Matt was good enough to tie. Eddie, we start with you. Age of Dustin Hoffman.
63.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Let's lock Eddie in at 63.
$1, Bob.
Matt, what do you got?
I swear to God I was going to guess him at 63, so I'll put him at 65 just to be different.
Wow, this may shock you. 72 years old.
Holy crap. He's old.
Are you serious?
No joke. 72. He's going to be 73 this year.
Wow. Oh, my God.
He looks great.
The thing was, is what throws a lot of people off is he played a young guy in The Graduate, but he was already, I believe, like 30, 31 when he got that role in The Graduate. Well, a lot of people think he's 19, 20 years old. He was 30, 31. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. How much time do we got left, Reno, really quick? Because I got another game before we get to DVD reviews, and that was Dead or Alive.
Oh, let's do that real quick.
Real quick. Dead or Alive to you guys. Christopher Lloyd, who played Doc in Back to the Future.
He's alive.
Eddie, we start with you. Dead or alive?
He's alive. I just saw him the other
day.
We
lock him in at alive.
I had breakfast with him this morning, you know, but he's a time traveler, so he can't be sure.
He is alive. 72 years old. He's got a movie coming out this year. Look for it. It's called Piranha 3D. Wow. DVD reviews.
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus 2.
DVD reviews. All right. Charles Klein, fan of the show, been on the show. He recommended to me, and he knows I don't like Nick Cage. He recommended Knowing. And I'll say this much. The tagline for Knowing should have been, I should have known better. Klein recommended this hot pile of garbage. The film opens with an interesting story, but soon it becomes hokey, and Nick Cage appears to overact his way through another terrible role. Some of the worst special effects shots, Matt, I have ever seen in a big budget movie. The end of the film actually comes back to put a nice sci-fi thought into the mix, but by then, the damage has been done. Kick this pile of garbage to the floor.
And I gotta watch this just to know.
No, don't watch Knowing. Another one that came to my attention was The Maid, all right? Jen put this one on the queue. We got it. The Maid.
Right.
Hailed as one of the best foreign films from last year, The Maid is brought to us from Chile. The story centers on a maid who has spent her entire adult life working/caring for a rich family down in Chile. Early on, you can see that this character is dark and complex. It takes till the end of the film to have a full understanding why she is this way. The journey there is filled with some dark humor as the maid actually gets into maid fights with a couple of different maids who are brought in to help with the chores. The film's funny, insightful, a little dark. I am recommending this to movie fans because I'm giving it a strong B-. But I say movie fans because I think if you're average movie film, go back and watch your next Nick Cage movie. But for movie fans out there who are looking for something different.
Way to be condescending there.
Check out The Maid. Check out The Maid. I'm telling you, it's a strong, strong piece. I'm giving this one a B.
All right. Yeah, I saw the Day of the Dead remake, and it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a full review, but, you know, the Romero films, as they remake them, I'm actually enjoying the remakes a little better. Is that weird?
Oh, boy. That is weird, Matt.
I like the the Dawn of the Dead remake. Much better.
Yeah.
And now the Day of the Dead remake, didn't expect to like it, but I kind of liked it.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal. So it brings us to the end of another Cinema Jaw.
How about it, man?
Another great one. Want to thank our guest, Eddie Griffin.
I've had a lot of fun. This is really cool. Thanks for having me on. And
absolutely, man. We'll have to have you back as we invite all our guests back.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I'll think of some more topics. I got some good ones.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what we need is good topics.
We love good topics. Thanks to PBR for sponsoring us.
Yes.
Thanks to Stranger Days Radio.
Thanks to Steve Mrazek, our wonderful, wonderful producer. We call him Reno. He's the best in the business. And that's it. We'll see you next week, folks. Check us out on Facebook. Send us a review on iTunes. Cinema Jaw.
Take care.